Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov and Mevorach. So let's just remember where we are. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph. The last thing that we learned was that the sugya of Es Badam Vetvila, which remember tells us that even if there's some type of blister on the Kohen's finger, it's still a kosher kind of Nisinas Hadam, and the Badam means the original Kabbalah of the Dam has to be sufficient to do an actual Tvila, an actual dipping, and Tvila means that it's not enough to be Misapeg, to put your finger around the edges of the container of the Dam, you have to actually be putting it into a splash of Dam. Okay, so those were the Limudim that we ended up, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we ended up learning Es Badam Ubitfila from a Kal Vachomer. Now, remember, it's interesting, Kal Vachomer was that certainly if you are able to find the same dinim in Karbonas that are of different species, then for sure, if they're the same species, so you have the Sayer of Yom Kippur and the Sayer of Avedis Kerklovim, are the same species, and therefore we should for sure know the halacha of the dinim Blagabi Yom Kippur of Es Badam Utvila from the Sire Avedas Kirchavi. That is the way in which we ended up learning. Now the problem is that there is a very fundamental issue which we haven't even spoken about, and it's going to follow us throughout all of the Limudim in Kachim. We're going to get to the details of it a little bit later, But it seems to throw a wrench into the whole limud of Rabbi Shmuel. And that is a new Gavi idea. And the new Gavi idea is, Ein lemedim lomad min halomad bekachim. Now this relates to the very special way that kachim is different than everything else. Because remember, what we understand about kachim, this is the reason, for instance, that we need to have shana lava katuv la'akev. Why do we take kachim to be just like suggestions, you know? And unless the Torah repeats it twice, we don't consider it to be absolutely fundamental. Where does that come from? And what does it mean? So clearly the idea of kachim, because of the fact that it's aveda, is understood to be a way in which you create a relationship. Now, creating relationships, as opposed to just a mitzvah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, do it this way, because that's what the meaning of the mitzvah is. But when it comes to kachim, what we're really talking about is something like an expression of a loved one to a lover, right? This is what I like. This is what I prefer. Now, that doesn't mean that if you don't do exactly the preference that, you know, it's all over. It just means that I expect you to care about me and try to do it my way. So once something becomes definitive, when we're talking about an avodah, and then it becomes a regular mitzvah, as a definitive issue, you have to repeat it. No, I really mean it. This is the only way I want it. Or you have to say something like chukah, in order to say this is the definition, or you need to use one of the words of existential havaya, so which means look, there's no alternative. This is the way it is. Like we would say in English, closest thing that you get to ising, or is havaya. Okay, so if that's the case, there's another concept, and that's what we're running into here. The other concept is that when something is given to you as a din, when it comes to kachim, it is so unique because of the fact that it is a communication from a lover, so to speak. This is what I want. You don't really have the right to apply rules to that. Don't you see that? It's something that is very specific. You don't apply a rule, well, you know, normally if there's a hekesh, so then you make a kal vachomer, you could just put all the way in which the Torah is nidrash, you put them all together into these concomitations of various limudim. And that makes no sense to do when you're talking about something that is intimate, something that is personal. You wouldn't do something like that even with your own lover, right? You wouldn't like make jumps and leaps of assumptions. The same thing is true of kachim. That's called ein lemedim lomad min halomad. The problem is that that's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel just did. He learned the din of et badam utvila. He learned that from the Kavol Komer, from the idea of the Sigire Yom HaKippurim, which, where did that come from? Sigire Yom HaKippurim, it doesn't say anything about et badam utvila. Okay, so he learned it out from Sigire Avodas Kerchavim, from the Kavol Komer. But how did he know Sigire Avodas Kerchavim require et badam utvila? I'll tell you how he knew. He learned from the fact that it said in that pasuk that we've been darshaning all along, Vasar Kasher Asah Lepar HaChatat. And we said, the Chatat, that was the Sayer of Avodah Zarah, right? Okay, that's a heker. It means that we're comparing the Sayer of Avodah Zarah to the Sayer of here, to the Sayer of the Kohen Gadol, which was already in itself one step removed. And now you want to learn out from that to Sigire Avodas Kerchavim, and then you want to make a Kavol Chomer from Sigire Avodas Kerchavim to Sigire Yom HaKippurim. But that is a concatenation. You're basically making a series of limudim by first deriving something from the Hekesh, and then using that Hekesh to make a Kavol Chomer. Now, that's not appropriate for Kachim. Therefore, today, the Gemara here on the top of Mem Aleph says, you can't do that. V'chidavar alameh behekesh choserum alameh bekal v'chomer? Do you in fact have an ability to just apply a kal v'chomer in a case where the ikar limud itself is not known directly from the pasuk? It's itself only known from the hekesh in the pasuk that compares the dinim of the par of the helam davar shel tzibur. It derives it from the Par Kohen Mashiach, which is the only place where it actually says these three limudim of et badam utvila. So how can you do that? Answers the Gemara. We're going to see later on that every possible variation of one lamad from another lamad is learned from a different place as to whether it's applicable to Kachim or not. The specific limud is very important because consider for a moment. When you're talking about a kal v'chomer is not like a hekesh or like a gzeirah shavah. A kal v'chomer is something that follows logically and directly, that if it's true here, that it's got to be true there. Now, that is something that you actually would apply in your own life. If a lover tells you X, and it's obvious that that's going to apply here, that's not the same as having some kind of indication which is not directly part of how your mind would have perceived it, right? That's clear. I think it's everybody can relate to that. In which case, there is a difference between a dover halamad behekesh to be chozer malagid bekal v'chomer. That's very different than a dover halamad behekesh shechozer malamid begzerah shavah, or a dover halamad behekesh should be chozer malamid in another hekesh. That's a different reality. Therefore, says Rav Papa, the truth is that yes, indeed, the Tana Kama, the Tana of the Rebbe Shmuel actually hold that there's no problem in applying a Kal V'chomer to something that I only knew initially from a Hekesh. Okay? Now, you're going to see this Gemara is so brilliantly arranged because by putting Rebbe Shmuel first and then questioning how you could learn the Lamad Min HaLamad, it introduced the whole Lamad Min HaLamad to you. And now the next piece of Gemara suddenly makes sense. And if we had discussed it before, it wouldn't have made sense. So let's take a look at the next piece. The next piece actually should have been a previous piece because remember what Rabbi Yishmael, said was that lapar, according to him, is a reference to not to the par of Yom Kippurim, but which he learned out through his Kal V'chomers, but rather to the par helam dover shel tzibur, right? But that's ridiculous. The pasuk is talking about the par helam dover shel tzibur. So why in the world would we make a hekesh to itself? That's nutty. La par kenya se la par, meaning to the par of the helam dover, which you just said you're supposed to do it for. Now, I mean, how in the world does that make any sense? Well, that's what we're talking about, says the Gemara, but Tzibur Guf Iksiv. This pasuk is the story of the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur. So what do you mean? And you should do this also for the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur. That sounds crazy. Ah, says her father, actually, it's quite brilliant. Because, look, the only way that we know about what is supposed to be put on the Mizbeach with the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur is because it says to put the Yoteret and the Shtei HaKlayot onto the Mizbeach when we were dealing with the original model Korban Chatas, which was the first Korban Chatas, which is the Par of the Kohen Mashiach. Now, it does not tell us what to do when it comes to the dinim of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. It doesn't say. It just says the Chelev. That's all that it says. We have no idea what that is. We only learn it out of the Par of the Kohen Mashiach. But the problem is that we're going to need to apply the dinim of Yoteret v'Shtei HaKlayot. The Yoteret is the diaphragm. Shtei HaKlayot is talking about the kidneys and the fats that are on the kidneys, right? Now, that's a specific thing that needs to be put on the Mizbeach. It doesn't say at all, remember, it didn't say what to do about the dam when we were talking about the Parsha Shlach and Bamidbar. It didn't say what to do with the dam of the Sawyer that you're going to be bringing for the Beis Din Ta'ud. It doesn't say what to put on the Mizbeach. It leaves us totally in the dark. So we ended up learning the dam from the Pasuk Par HaChatat. We said, what's the Chatat? Kein Yaseh with a Par HaChatat. The Chatat is a reference to that other Chatat, the one in Shlach, the one that we call Si'irei Aved Kochavim, which is brought together with a Par La'ola in the event that a Beis Din makes a mistake in Hayrah. Sorry that I keep repeating, but I told you why I do that. So, if this is the point, then we're going to have a problem. Because the place where it says that Par HaChatat is where? In the second Chatas, in the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. That's where our favorite pasuk is that we've been darshaning here all along. Vasa kasher asa, that old pasuk, right? That's a Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Now you want to apply the dinim of the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur to the dinim of the Si'irei Avodas Kochavim in Bamidbar. The problem is that we only know those dinim because we've derived them from the Par Kohen Mashiach. Now you've got a real problem of lomad min ha-lomad, because this is a dover that was lomad behekesh, and now you're going to compare it again as a second hekesh. You're going to say, I learned out from Kasa Kasher Asa that the dinim of the Par Helam Dover are the same as the Par Kohen Mashiach, which means that now I know you have to bring the Yoteret HaKaved and the Kloyot, right? Okay. Now you're going to turn around and you're going to say, and it also says in that pasuk Par HaChatat, which is a reference to Seirei Avodah Zarah, so now I'm going to compare the din of the Kloyot and the Yoteret HaKaved that I learned out from Par Kohen Mashiach to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, and with an additional hekesh to the Chatat, I'm going to also learn the din to Seirei Avodah Zarah. That is a classic lomad min ha-lomad hekesh into Hekesh equals. That's not an acceptable limud when it comes to Kachim. What is the way that the Torah got around that problem? Says Rav Papa, that's the whole point. If we add the Asel Lapar to be referring to itself, then what is it doing? Then it's reiterating that the dinim that we are talking about here are necessary for the par as if they were primarily given to the par, you see? If I had only derived it from the asar kasher asar, okay, you know, I understand, okay, that's the din. But if you repeat it by adding the par, then by having a second hekesh that insists that the dinim that we just learned out are so primary that they're as if they are written in the sugya itself. That's the point. By doing that, you take away the objection of lomad min alomad, because the second par, as silly as it sounds, and maybe because it sounds so silly, is trying to write into this par what it said before of the par kohen Mashiach. And therefore, since we need it, says Rav Papa, Mishum de boyag mu par alam davar shel tzibur biyoteret v'shtei haklayot. So since our intent was to learn out that din to the Seirim in Shalach, and the only way we were able to learn it was from the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur. But the problem is, the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur itself doesn't say anything about the Oteret V'Shtei HaKloyot. And the only way we would know it was with the Hekesh, namely of the V'Asa, like we said before. Therefore, we need to make a read on Hekesh with that word lapar to be self-referential, to make it as if it were actually written in the very parsha of the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur by reiterating it, and therefore it won't be a problem. You see how brilliantly it was all ignored? Great. So it was presented in this fashion, because now everything turns out to be nogea exactly the same issue that we have introduced. This should be able to make it through even the alcohol-addled brains who are sitting together in a state of some stupor, as you can notice, and trying to get the daf together. So between the different brains, we may actually get somewhere. Doc is willing to give help. He's got various kinds of chemicals that will be useful. He promised that he'll make a chemical Malava Malka to anybody who needs it. So you could go over the daf there again. Okay, so now we understand how it all works out. And in fact, Tanika Vasidi Rav Papa, this that Rav Papa said, even though it sounds really, wow, off the wall a bit, it's actually a braita. The Asa Ka'asher Asa. Okay, that's our pasuk. Isn't that enough? Why does it have to say, Asa Ka'asher Asa Lapar? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because you see, now, before we go ahead, I have to warn you that even though we think we know everything there is to know about this, because we already know that we're going to be comparing the Par Helam Davar to the Sa'ire Avodes Kochavim from that same pasuk of Va'asa Kasher Asa, right? Because it says Lepar HaChatat, and that Chatat was the Sa'ire Avodes Kochavim. This is going to shake our beliefs, because this braita is going to bring a different hekesh. And we're going to ask in a moment, why do we need this different hekesh? But this braita is about to bring a different hekesh to teach me what I thought I already knew from the hekesh of Par HaChatat. And it's a different hekesh that compares the Seirei Avodes Kochavim to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. And the moker of this hekesh is in Shlach, not in Vayikra. So let's examine the pasuk now in the Braita, in Shlach. So the Fisha Nemar, very strange kind of pasuk. It says over there, the Chiper HaKohen al kol adat b'nei Yisrael. This is with the Seirei Avodes Kochavim. V'nislach lehem. So once again, we have the Chiper of the V'nislach. Kishkagahi. Now, listen to this. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to explain why it is that it's fair that we should give a kaparna to these people. It's like a very strange puzzle. Well, after all, they didn't do it on purpose. And besides that, v'hem heviu et korbanam mishel Hashem, didn't they already bring their korban? And didn't they already bring chatatam lifnei Hashem, al shigigatam? I mean, so how much do you want to penalize these poor guys, you know? I think we've done enough. Okay, I don't remember anywhere else where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to justify giving these guys a kapara. You know, well, it's not their fault. They brought a korban and they did it b'shkogam. What's going on? So what is all of that? So therefore, the Braita analyzes that pasuk in Shlach, which goes like this. You say, Hei meviu et korbanam mishel Hashem, v'katatam lifnei Hashem, al shigigatam. So what is all of this? So let's analyze it one word at a time. The chatatam obviously is the reference to the chatas right here in Shlach that it was talking about. Those are the Seirei Avodat Kochavi. So they brought that chatas. And then it says, and look, I mean, it's al shigigatam, isn't it? Shigigatam. Well, of course it's al shigigatam. That's what we're talking about. The pasuk started with the words v'nislach lehem kishigagahi. So what is the shigigatam? I'll tell you what it is. There's one other place where we have a similar carbon, and there it uses the word yishgu. Im kol adat Yisrael yishgu. What's that a reference to? the par helen dovesh tzibur. Aha! So that means that the Pasuk is making a comparison, which, of course, we already know, but we know it from Vayikra. For some reason, this bright is looking for another place to make the comparison of the par helem dovesh tzibur to the seirei chatas of avodas kechavim. So therefore, amra Torah, look, the chatatam, namely the seirei avodas kechavim, hare yilecha kishigigatam, treat them the same way that you would for the regular shikaga of a horaz besin, which is what? The par helem dovesh tzibur. So therefore, it teaches us, if we know that the din on the Arel and Dovash HaTzibur is that you need the parts that are discussed over there, so that's the Yoteret HaKaved and the Klayot, the same thing must be true about the par of Avedis Kerchavi. But we got a problem. Where do we know Shigigatan? Where do we know that par Helen Dovah is actually supposed to bring these parts on the Mizbeah, which are the Yoteret HaKaved and the Kloyot? The only way you know it, lo be'hekesha, wasn't it from that original Hekesh with the par of the Kohen Mashiach? But you can't do that. V'chi davar alamed be'hekesh, choseru malamed be'hekesh. That's why it has to say la par self-referentially. That Kenya sell a par to itself, which is exactly what Rav Papa said, albeit on the other comparison, the other Hekesh, but the idea is the same, that in order to be able to make this Hekesh, we need to have the statement of the Yoteret HaKaved and the Klayot. It has to be innate in the din of the par helem dovesh tzibur, and not be a limit from a Hekesh. How do we get around that problem? By repeating la par, which makes it the equivalent of being innate. And therefore, we now have a right to use that to tell me the din of Sa'irei Avodas Kechavim, and it's not called a Hekesh that is being lomat from a Hekesh. Okay, yeah, that's great. That's exactly what Papa said. But what the heck is going on over here? Why did this Braita introduce a completely different way of comparing the din of par helem dovesh tzibur to the seirei avodas kechavim? What is this new stuff over here? Omar mar chatatam, elo seirei avodas kechavim. Didn't we already do that? Typically mikra kama. Why don't we learn it out from the first pasuk that we brought? That's our favorite pasuk. Vasa kasher asa lapar hachatat. And the hachatat, we said, could only be referring to Seirei Avodas Kechavim. So why now do we need another Hekesh in Shlach? I'm so confused. We need another Hekesh. I'll tell you why. Because if we wouldn't have this additional Hekesh, I might have thought that the original Kenya Asel Chatat that compares the parallel of Dover to the Seirei Avodas Kechavim in Shlach is only referring to things that are openly written in the parsha of the par helem dovesh tzibur. I would have said, hanimile hazaot, dichtivan begufe. You can actually see it in the pasuk that refers to what to do with the dam. But these things, the yoteret, the shtei akoyot, it doesn't say anything about it. We only know it through a hekesh. So maybe it wouldn't extend it even to that. And I should just learn out the dam, but not the fact that you need your Yoteret HaKaved Shtei Akloyot. Kamash Malan, that we can even extend the halacha of this Hekesh between the Paralam Dover and the Seirei Avodas Kechavim. It's a very extensive Hekesh that includes even the halacha of the Yoteret HaKaved and the Klayot. Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question. I thought we just said that the purpose of the additional lapar was exactly to address that issue. Didn't we say that lapar meant that it's as if it's written in the pasuk? And you're telling me I would think it's only for things written in the pasuk, but it is written in the pasuk. You said it is written in the pasuk if it said lapar. That's the point of the second hekesh. So why are we doing this again? I mean, we seem to have addressed that. Does everybody understand the problem here? Let me just start it from the beginning, but please put on your thinking caps. Turn it up, please. You should be on an 8 here. Thank you. So, again, that's right. There he goes. Oh my gosh, the sparks flying out of Ari's head. Turn it down a little bit. Akiva, quick. Ah, okay. So, all right. So what did we have? Let's think about it again. We have the connections, two connections. One connection of the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur to the Chatas of Avodas Kechovim that's mentioned in Shlach comes from the word Lepar HaChatat. The Chatat, the unmentioned Chatat, has got to be referring to the Chatat, that's how it's referred to all along in Shlach, the Chatat of the Soir that's brought by Bezdin in the event of a Ta'ut Bidogea Halacha in Avodah Zarah, and people ended up worshiping Avodah Zarah, right? Okay. Then we also have the fact that in Shlach, the Torah put together Chatatam with Shigigatam. The Lashon of Shigigatam is the Lashon that's used back in Vayikra for the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, Im Kol Ha'eda Yishgu. That Yishgu is Shigigatam. And this here in Shlach, it talks about Yavil Chatat, which is the Sa'irei Avodah Zarah. So now we've got another comparison. Two comparisons. We have a Kashim between the Dinim of the Paralam Dover and the Dinim of Bezdin in the similar situation where the Toas of Bezdin Zorah was Sa'irei Avodah Kechavim, right? Okay, that's one issue. Now set that aside for a moment. There are two things that needed to be learned from the sugya of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur to the sugya of Se'irei Avodas Kechavim. One of those things, which was all that we were talking about for the past 5 days, was what about the dinim of the dam, right? So the dinim of the dam consisted of how many hazoyos do you do in the dam, and how do you do those hazoyos? The how do you do was the et, badam, and tefillah, which told us the specific special dinim about how to perform the hazoyos when it comes to these particular hazoyos pnim. Fine. Now, we had a problem. If we're going to be deriving the dinim of the Se'irei Avodah Zarah directly from the dinim of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur by utilizing a hekesh, then the only things that we should be able to learn from it are things that appear in the pasuk itself, not things that are learned from a first hekesh from the Par Kohen Mashiach to the Par Helam Dover, because that is, as Akiva is showing us, a double hekesh. Yes, indeed. When you're a little, you know, loose in the brain, you've got to put up your fingers to make sure. How many fingers do you see there, Akiva? Come on, tell us how many fingers I'm holding up. Oh, my gosh, I thought so. So what do we have? We've got two separate limudim. One is the dinim of the dam, and one is the dinim of the emurim. The dinim of the emurim is the yoteret hakaved and the shtei hakloyot. Now, we have to do both of those, and both of those are learned from a hekesh from the Par Kohen Mashiach to the Par Helam Dover. So, we should not be able to do that because Ein Lanedim Lamad Min Haloma, right? So, Rav Papa explained brilliantly that what appeared to be off the wall in the drosha of the Braita that says, V'asar kasher asa lapar, the lapar is a reference to the par of the Helam Dover, which is what we're talking about. How in the world do you make a self-referential statement like that? What sense is there in it? So Rav Papa said, ah, that's the whole point. By making it also an additional internal hekesh, we have now made it as if the information is in the actual pasuk, instead of having been derived from a hekesh. And therefore, you can now derive the two sets of things, the dam and all of its dinim of Esped, dam, betfila, and so on. You could derive that from the Par Helam Dover, despite the fact that Par Helam Dover itself only knows et bedam betfila from a hekesh, and apply it to the Se'irei Avodah Zarah. And we can also, I would have thought, we can also do the same thing for the emurim, namely, the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shnei HaKlayot, right? Now, for some reason, we needed a second comparison of the Paralam Davashot Tzibur to the Seire Avodah Zarah, which is the Chatatam and Shigigatam, to make sure that I wouldn't make the mistake of saying, yeah, I would have thought you can only compare the Dam, because at least the Dam, it says about the Dam, it talks about the Dam and the Pasuk, but it doesn't talk at all about the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shnei HaKlayot in the Pasuk. But I thought we repeated Lapar to make it as if it occurred in the Pasuk, right? That's the question that Tosfos asks. Normally, I don't trouble you with Tosfos, but over here, it's such a glaring issue that I just need to talk it out so that the Gemara should make perfectly good sense. So now, you don't need the Tosfos to figure out the answer to this question. It's really a very straightforward answer. The answer is that there's a tremendous... The truth is, Rashi answers the question by putting in one word, and that is the word behedya, in which he says something that's not written openly at all in the Pasuk, I would have thought, is not what we're coming to discuss. There's a difference between something that's discussed but without all of its dinim, like dam and badam and et and betfila, and something that isn't discussed at all, isn't there? So it doesn't say anything about it. So, like, what would make me think, well, I should first learn that also from the Hekesh of the Lapar and then apply that with that? Maybe that's not what we're referring to. Maybe we're referring to the issues in the Pasuk, which is a very logical thing without looking at Tosfos. You should figure out yourself. And therefore, that's the answer. If it wouldn't be for the fact that we had this additional Hekesh of saying, now listen here, you've got to learn out the Chatatam from Shigigatam. So I think to myself, but I already know that from Lapara Chatat. Ah, this must be telling me that even the Emurim I have to learn out. But how? Because it says Lapar. And that Lapar is a self-referential, and therefore it's not a Hekesh, but a Hekesh. Ha-ha, perfect. Ha-ha, perfect. Yes. Okay, now let's see why Moshe Reuven has ventured out of the forest at such a dangerous moment.
Right, so I just wanted to know if the fact that Zirei, Vodat Kochavim, and Parah Davar Shot Tzibur are sort of the same, are so similar in the reason behind that, right? You almost say that Zirei...
Yeah, obviously, right. Yeah, that's what we've been stressing the whole time. It's exactly the same format. It's just Bezdin's mistake, specifically in this one case, takes a Sawyer. It even keeps the par, it only makes the par into...
Lamed bin Alamed, because it's...
But it's still a Lamed bin Alamed. Yeah, sure, it's a different carbon. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but... that the Torah would do it this way and would turn it into that extra part to avoid the problem, but it wouldn't be sufficient for me to just, because that would just be a mamatzino, which is another question that we have, as we'll see later on next week, about is a dover alamet behekesh kreiser malandi b'mamatzino. We're going to be talking about all, as I said, each and every one of the different types of limudim to see which one, the lamad min alamad, is a fatal flaw. Okay, so now let's go back at this point over here to the machlokas we had originally, and we said that according to Rav Papa, so originally Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, well, all of the what we learn out from the comparison over here of Lapar is to tell me that everything that you do on Yom Kippur is ma'akev, right? So then we said, no, we don't need it for that. Lapar zepar par yom kippurim. It says chuka, remember? And since it says chuka, can't be coming for that. So what is it coming for? It's coming, said Rav Papa. No, it's coming to tell me et badam etfila. That was the beginning of this whole discussion. And over there we had this possibility. Well, what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? That maybe if it's not ma'akev, if it's not big day love on anasa bifnim, chuka doesn't apply, so then we would need to learn it out. So we had two different approaches over there. Rav Papa held that it's only coming to tell me et badam v'tvila. And then we said, yep, that's good for what it says in the Braita. And it says that we learned it out from this actual comparison of a lapar. Amalei Ravuna, Breda of Nesel, Rav Papa, now, you know, I mean, let's try to be honest over here. The Lashon of that Braita, which was brought as a proof to you and which you just let it slip by. I mean, it isn't really a proof to you because note the Lashon of that Braita. The Tana says it's coming l'rabot par yoma b'kipurim l'kol masha umur b'inyan. It doesn't, I mean, if it was really coming to tell me only et badam et fila, what does l'kol mean? I mean, that's mashma that the basic dinim is, including the fact that if you miss out on one matana that it's not mechaper, that it's learned for from there. And not on what you're claiming. So how are you bringing the Braita as a riot to you? I don't get it. Said Rav Papa, no, that I agree is certainly a machlokas tanoim. Yes, the Braita as we had it, which we're calling the Tana Devei Rav. Now Rashi goes out of his way to explain over here that the Tana Devei Rav, I mean, that doesn't mean that Rav Space Medrash said this Braita. The Tana Devei Rav means a standard brisa that's found in the yeshiva, right? So that original brisa was not attributed, not to Rav Hoshaya, not to Rav Chiya, not to Rav Yishmael. We're calling that the Stam Tana Rabbana that we had originally brought for Rav Papa. That Tana Devei Rav is marbe exactly as I said, okay? It does not learn the dinim of the Zrika, from the dinim of Lapar Zepar Yom HaKippurim. However, you are right that the Braita that we just quoted now, this recent Braita, which was the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, he does not learn it like me. He indeed learns it from Lapar, like you. And that's true, but these are two very different Braitas. And essentially, what we're talking about over here was a stam. The first brisa was a stam brisa in Teres Kayanim. And remember that that goes Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. So therefore, don't bother me about this. It's two completely separate sources. And Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, once we're already on the topic of the Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, I want to tell you two very beautiful observations that the Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael makes. I mean, they're not nogei lahalacha, but they're insights, beautiful insights. Because, look, I mean, we said that this whole business of the subtle differences between the first carbon, which is the carbon of the Parkoi Mashiach, and the second carbon listed in the Chataot, which are the par of the Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, there's all these subtle differences, which we then have to get around by utilizing these various diyukim and saying, well, it has to be self-referential, or we say it has to be vatsa kasher atsa, and then it needs the previous lapar to compare it back to the, like, what is going on? Why are there these differences? Why don't we talk about the yoter takaved directly, like we did everything else? Why do we have to learn it out from a limud? Just bring it back to a hekesh, to the par of the Kohen Mashiach. I mean, there has to be some rhyme and reason to it. Says Rabbi Yishmael, there is a beautiful rhyme and reason. Let me tell you something. Mipnei ma nemru yoter v'shtei haklayot bepar Kohen Mashiach and not bepar halam dover shel tzibur. And then in order to derive the halacha, we had to derive it from the hekesh. So I'll tell you. Imagine a melech. And he's angry. Well, there's a big difference between being angry at your most beloved connection and being angry at Stam, a friend. So if you're angry at Stam, your friend, you tell him everything that's got to be done to fix the relationship. Okay, so that is the Par Kohen Mashiach. But when you're angry at Klal Yisrael, because this was Me'enei Ha'edah, and this was the whole Ada follows them and ends up to making a mistake because of it. Man, I'm furious. So, I can't believe it. I don't want to make it so clear to the world about how awful I feel about these people and the way they treated me. So there, I don't tell you all of the things. So you're me, Pesir Chuno. I'll let you figure out what you got to do to bring the Yoser HaKaved and the Shtei HaKlayot. But I don't want to say it openly because I want people to realize how much I love these people and I don't want to make a big fuss over it. So that's how to understand that. And then there's another fascinating difference. It's like, oh, so weird. When we're talking about exactly the same thing in the Parakoin Mashiach, it says, V'hizam in Adam sheva pa'amim lifnei Hashem al pnei porochet ha-kodesh. And the same pasuk, which is repeated in the Par Helam Davash al Tzibor, says, V'hizam sheva pa'amim lifnei Hashem et pnei ha-porochet. Doesn't say Parochet HaKodesh. Menachem, well, it doesn't help to make the screen, a little bit messy. I still see that your eyes are closed. Don't worry about it. I know that you've got a dry eye problem. And just the fact that you care so much leaves not a single eye dry in the whole audience. So it's fine. Anyway, so look. The question over here is, why do we leave out the word HaKodesh when it comes to the Tzibur? I'll tell you why. Marshal Melech Basar Vadam Shesarcha Lav Medina. Okay, so Trump has got some guys, you know, Lahavdil, who are making trouble, you know, in one state. All right. So, Imiyuta Sarcha, Pamalya Shalom Mitkayemet. I mean, it doesn't undermine the whole MAGA deal, does it? So it's still Parochas HaKodesh, because it's still Trump land. But the moment that in Ruba Sarcha, if most people are turning against him, then everything's falling apart. And ain't Pamalya Shalom Mitkayemet, and it's no longer Trump land. So Lahavdil, you understand the same thing? If most of the Tzibur has ended up listening to a wrong psak of Bezdin, I can't call that Parochas HaKodesh anymore. These guys are no good. They're not part of the scene. So the male, if only the Kohen Gadol was chayte, it's Parochas HaKodesh. But if not, it's not called the Parochas HaKodesh any longer. Okay. So, the Mishnah ends after telling me that you need all four of the matanas in the case that we're dealing with a matanas that were on the chataot apnimiot, so either the Purim or the Seirim and Israfim, over there, every last matana is ma'akev. And since, as we saw earlier, the whole point of the Mishnah is really to tell us the dinim of pigel in these cases. So the first part of the Mishnah said, if only one matana is ma'akev in the chatot achitzoniot like Beit Hillel, if you gave that first matana with a makshavas pigel, then it's pigel. And even if afterwards you give it with a makshavas shel lishma, it's not going to undo the pigel because the carbon was essentially mechaper with the first of the matanas. However, at the end of the Mishnah, in contrast to that, then it says that if you gave all of them kitikunam, and even just one was not given kitikunam, so over there it's puzzle, but there's no chiev in chorus. Why not? I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because you can't be mefagel in a chatzi matir. Remember, that was another one of Agavi's idea. Maybe mefaglin b'chatzi matir, maybe ain't mefaglin b'chatzi matir. Let's take a look and try to figure out what it actually means. Because we have an equivalent Mishnah in Minachot. So over there it says like this. Suppose you did a Machsheves Pigel only on the Kometz of the Mincha, but not on the Levona. So remember, you have to bring two things, two Matirin for a Mincha. One of them is the Kometz that you took out of the actual content of the Solet of the Mincha, or whatever the Mincha was. And the other is the Levona. So if you had a Machsheves Pigel Chutz Lizmano only on the Kometz and not on the Levona, or only on the Levona and not on the Kometz, Rebbe Meir says, doesn't matter. It would still be Pigel, and you would still be Chayev Kores, whereas the Chachomim say, no, Ein Bo Koreit Ad Sheyefagel B'chol HaMatir. Since you need both the Levona and the Kometz to be matir, the Mincha ba'achila, and to be matir the rest of the Mincha in the event that it's a Kohen, Mincha's Kohen, for Hakrova, so then it can't be Pigo with only half an amatir. You have to do the whole matir. So that sounds like, up front, a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether mefaglim b'chatzi matir or not, right? Very straightforward. Says Reish Lakish, no. That would be a misunderstanding. And I know why you think it. And it is your first thought, but it's wrong. Lo tema time of the Rebbe Meir to kasavra mefaglim b'chatzi matir. That is definitely not, I'm going to prove it to you. That's definitely not what Rebbe Meir is trying to say here. The reason that Rebbe Meir says is that what looks to you like a chatzi matir is because, remember Rebbe Meir's shita that we've had numerous times? We spoke about it recently, binogea temura. Somebody says temura seila, temura shlomim. Remember, Rebbe Meir says, you always go according to the first part of the statement, and that is koveya. Well, that's exactly what's going on over here. Hachma mayaskinan, says Reish Lakish, that he started off giving the komets with the machsheves pigo, and then he didn't say anything when it came to Levona, or vice versa. So the reason that Rebbe Meir says that it's pigo is because of his overall shita of kol ha'oseh al dat rishonahu oseh. So since you started off with the machsheves pigol on the komets, it's as if you said that machsheves pigol on the levana, unless you specifically said otherwise, because you already started off with pigol, which means that the whole matir was pigol. It's not because it's a chatzi matir. It's because the original machshava applies to the entire matir, and therefore you did do the entire matir b'machshava. But I don't disagree with the concept of ein mefaglim b'chatzi matir. So since kasava kolose al dat rishonahu oseh, therefore it was the kol ha'matir. Why do I think that that's the pshat? Why don't I just take it at face value? I'll tell you why. Because look, the Mishnah said, Lefichach im natan kulam ketikunam, v'achat shalok teketikunam, pasul ve'en bokarez. Now, what I understand here is that he started off this way. If he gave all of them ketikunam, and one of them shalok tikunam, in that order, then it's pasul ve'en bokarez. So, what does that imply? That only because he started off properly. He did the first three ketikunam. What if it'd be the other way around? What if the first one would have been the pigol, and then all the rest would have been okay? What would have been the din there? Ha, ha, ha. Well, it's pretty clear, the mashmaut. Ha'achat shelo ketikuna first, followed by kulam ketikuna afterwards, it would be pigol. Now, tell me who would say that. It can't be the Rabbanan, because that's the chatzi matir. And the Rabbanan said, beferish. There's no doubt about what they hold. They hold ein mefaglim b'chatzi matir. So what's the difference? The order. The order is irrelevant. It's a chatzi matir. It's a chatzi matir. So the Mishnah would never have said that it would be pigol, or never have implied that it would be pigol. It's got to be going aliba to Rebbe Meir. And that means that it's all a function of the order. If Rebbe Meir's shita was that ein mefaglim b'chatzi matir, what difference would the order make? None whatsoever. Ein mefaglim b'chatzi matir or mefaglim b'chatzi matir. If mefaglim b'chatzi matir, so what's the difference? If the last thing that I did was the machsheves pigol, or if the first thing that I did was the machsheves pigol. Therefore, it's got to be going like Rebbe Meir. And of course, if Rebbe Meir's fara would be mefaglim b'chatzi matir, so then even in the case that the Mishnah does talk about, where only the last one was pigol, it should be pigol, and the Mishnah says it's not pigol, it's only puzzle. The only explanation to the difference in the order can only be because Yitzvara is entirely kol ha'oseh al dat rishonahu oseh. And I think that conclusively shows you that the only way to understand this is as I understand it, and not what it seems to be on the surface. Okay, lovely. Now that sounds absolutely wonderful. Is there a way out of that? Well, says the Gemara, maybe Actually, it could be going, says Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, like the Rabbanan. I mean, look, I've got a different way of looking at this, because remember that we have a concept of kihartzaat kasher kahartzaat pasul, right? Now, that amazing din meant that in the world of Pigel, you need to do everything that's right for Pigel in order for Pigel to be chal. Right, meaning right for Pigel, which is bad for non-Pigel, but it's the only way to bring a Pigel karba. Okay, so maybe when it says over here, ketikunan, it means ketikunam lepigel. And that's the point. So ketikunam bepigel would simply mean, when it says that you gave the first ones ketikunam, what it means is you gave the first ones for chutz lizmano, and then you did the fourth one was shalot ketikuna, and therefore the whole point of it is to teach me that we don't go according to the dat rishona, and since you only did the first three and not the last one, and since ein mefagrin b'chatzi matir, this mishnah is coming to tell me don't believe that Rebbe Meir. It's all not true. Either you do it all for Pigel, or just doing the first three. If you don't do the fourth, we don't say, well, you did it for three, it's the same thing as the... No, it's not the same. You have to specify what you're doing for Pigel, and we don't say that we go according to your original Machshava. Maybe that's what it means. And it's not referring to Kitikuna, meaning to do it right. It means to do it right for Pigel. I mean, because look, I mean, the Mishnah started off with telling me, and therefore, if you have a Machshavas Pigel, so that means that we're looking to contrast this with the opening of the Mishnah, and therefore, contrasting it with a Machshavas Pigel. Maybe you can read it like that. No. Come on. You can't say that, because look at the language. The language is like this. Lefichach, im natan kulam ketikunam. If you gave them all properly, which you're saying means for Pigel, and one not properly, which you're saying means not for Pigel, then it's possible v'ein bo karet. Now, I mean, come on. If what we're talking about over here is you gave it not for Pigel, what would you say? Shalo ketikuna? You'd never say that. You would say you gave it b'shtika, you know? Or you would say, kulam ketikunam chutz miachas. I mean, to say shalo ketikuna, what does shalo ketikuna mean? I mean, it doesn't even mean anything when it comes to Pigel. You mean bishtika? You didn't say anything. That's not shalo ketikunam. So how can you call that shalo ketikunam? It's crazy. The word ketikunam, therefore, has to mean the opposite of what shalo ketikuna means, right? So if shalo ketikuna has got to mean not properly, so that's exactly what it says. So since it talks about achat shalo ketikuna, then obviously the word tikuna is talking about correct, not correct for Pigel, but just plain old-fashioned correct. It's just, no. I mean, look, it's a nice try, but it's ridiculous. Omar Rava, no, it's not ridiculous. It's possible to do something shalo ketikunah for Pigel. It is? Yeah. Do it chutz l'mekomo. If you're doing it with the Machshavas chutz l'mekomo, you're messing up the Pigel. So maybe it means you're actively destroying the Pigel. That's what shalo ketikunah means. You're saying it's got to just, man, what does it mean to say shalo ketikunah for Pigel? Just say b'shtika. No, it means you, bedavka, you did it shalo ketikunah l'pigel. So you did it chutz l'mekomo, which undoes a Pigel because makshavas mevatla zuazu. Or Ravashi says, you could even, we're talking about a chatas over here, right? I mean, by definition, that's the only thing we're dealing with. We're talking about the chato'ot apnimiyot. So, shalo lishmo would also possible it. Doesn't have to be chutz l'mekomo. Maybe it means shalo lishmo. So, chutz l'mekomo, it could be also shalo lishmo. No. Because, look, then what's the implication? Only because I messed up the Pigel by doing it shalo lishmo at the last part, or I messed up the Pigel by doing it shalo b'mekomo. But if I hadn't messed up the Pigel, what would have been the din? Then it would have been chayev kores. I thought you just said that ein mefagrin b'chatzimatir. So how would it be Chai of Chorus? What are you talking about? You're creating a monster of a Mishnah here by trying to turn it, the Tikkuno and Shalot Tikkuno, as active Pigol and an active non-Pigol. It doesn't make any sense. It does, I'll tell you. Because the truth is, of course, it could have been that the fourth Matana was not Shalot Tikkuno as active anti-Pigol. What it might have simply meant was that, yes, it's the equivalent of Vishtika, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to contrast the opening of the Mishnah with the ending of the Mishnah, right? Now, the opening of the Mishnah went out of its way to say in the Reisha, and therefore, if even the first one of the Matanes was Pigol and the rest of them were Shalom B'Mekomo, it wouldn't make any difference. It would still be Pigol because the only one that counts is the first one. So in the end of the Mishnah, it says that the exact opposite is true over here. Since all four of them are necessary, it uses the same language. If you gave all three of them for Pigol, if only one of them was Shalom B'Mekomo, that itself would mess it up. Of which, I mean, doesn't mean. And if it would have been B'Shtika, it wouldn't have messed it up, because, I mean, after all, Ein Mefagla B'Chatzi Matir, but we want to make a lovely contrast to the Reisha of the Mishnah. So, I did a ton of Reisha. Pigol v'chayavira lafkaret, it used the same ideas in the Sefer to say it's possible ve'ein bo karet. Even though you used the same words, it doesn't mean it's limited to those words. It's just aesthetically very pleasing, and it really it puts it into your brain. Over here, one matana of Pigol is enough to make Pigol. And in this case, three matanas of Pigol is not enough to make Pigol. That's all it's trying to say. So it still works out beautifully. Okay, so we've had some very exciting beginnings about the sugya of Ein Lamedim Lo Bamin HaLomad. We found out that there's a difference between applying a Kal V'Chomer to a case of Lomad Min HaLomad versus a hekesh to apply to another hekesh. We've discovered a new concept of a self-referential hekesh would make it the equivalent of as if it was written in the same makom, as if it was written in the pasuk, and therefore there would be no problem of ein lamedim lomad min halomad. We've also learned out the din, which we hadn't talked about before. We had only spoken about the matnas dam. We've extended now the limudim of the hekeshim into also the matanais on the Mizbeach, the Emurim of the Yoteret V'Shtei HaKlayot, and we've seen how we derive them from the Parkoy Mashiach to the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur to the Seirei Avodes Kochavim with two separate Hekeshim, one of them which is Lepar HaChatat. HaChatat is a reference to the Chatas of the Avodes Kochavim, which is a Seir, and from the other Hekesh in Parsha Shlach, which is Chatatam Teshigagatam. The Chatatam is a reference to the Avodah Zarah Seirim, and the Shigagatam is a reference to Par Elam Dover Shel Tzibur.